So, John 3, 3 John, it's a lot like 2 John. It was an encouragement letter. It was just one of these little, it was like a postcard, you know. It was just kind of like, hey, quick, to the point, this is what you guys need to know. And God anointed it. It's His Word. The Holy Spirit penned this. But we're going to talk about three people. Of course, it's written by John, and he's writing it to a gentleman named Gaius, and he talks about two characters, Diotrephes and Demetrius. Last week, we talked about who to not let into your house, right? Who to not support, like the boys in the suits on the bicycles that come knock on your doors on Saturdays. Don't let those guys in your house. You know, the little old ladies with the Watchtower Society tracks, don't let them into your house. Right? We were told who not to invite in. Now, we're being told who to invite in. Okay? It starts off, and it says, the elder, right? That means I'm an old dude. John was an old dude. Old dudes have lots to say, so listen to them. To the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I like how this epistle is formatted, because John listens to what other people say about the other brethren that he's ministering to and with. Right? What would people say about you in this town? Right? How's your character? Right? If you work on your character, God will work on your reputation. Okay? So, John was listening, right? You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. Okay? You are a living epistle, as Paul wrote. He says, I'm a living epistle, right? He knew that his life was going to have more effect on people than all his book smarts. Right? What you know needs to translate into how you conduct yourself. Right? This isn't just, let's learn this just so we can sit around and compare notes and see how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Right? We need to be able to, people need to look at us and go, wow, you love your wife. What's wrong with you? You don't steal toilet paper from work. What's wrong with you? You're on time. You always help me go to the store. Like, you are like Jesus in some respects. I mean, examine your character. What would people say about you? I know what I'd say about myself, but you can only be yourself when no one else is looking, right? So, but he's rejoicing. You know, there's no greater joy. We talked about this last week. Than the men you're discipling and the women you're discipling are walking in the truth. When it sticks, right? It's like a parent when they see their kid grow up and, like, finally get life. Okay? Some of us are still waiting for that moment. Some of our parents are still waiting for that moment. But there's no greater joy in the ministry than when people catch the ministry, right? See, ministry isn't taught, it's caught. It just, either you get it or you don't. Okay? And so, John is greatly rejoicing because this is going on in Gaius' life here. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Verse 5, this is, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. This church, this small body of believers, was they were sending out apostles and missionaries, sent ones, people to do the work of the ministry. And the cost of the ministry usually involves outside support. Okay, that's why we support missionaries, because they don't have the resources there. Paul said, you know, I took from other churches. I robbed from other churches so I didn't have to take a paycheck from you guys. Okay? Ministry has a cost. And God wants us involved in the expense of the ministry, not just because God's not broke, guys. Let's first put that out. God is not broke. But what he does is when he ties in missionaries to churches and into other groups of believers, he's building relationships. You get the same reward as the missionary when you support the missionary. Some water, some plant, some reap. Okay? Not all of us are called to serve in a apostolic or missionary form. However, you can support that missionary through prayer and financially, and at the end of the age, you get rewarded for that. And God ties us all together through that. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to support these people. All right? I went to a church every Saturday. We got to go feed the homeless. I'm like, no, you have to. Right? There's no have-tos, is there? There's just get-tos. You get to support missionaries. Right? You get to do the work of the Lord. Send them on in a manner worthy of God. Because it says in verse 7, because they went forth for his name's sake, take nothing from the Gentiles. One of the temptations in ministry is to use the tricks and the techniques of the lost and dying world to support your church, to support your missionary endeavor, to support your... You go on these ungodly fundraising campaigns, right? And we need to be careful not to take money from the very people we're trying to minister to, because then they see an ulterior motive, right? Just watch Christian broadcasting. What's their number one prayer request? We need your money because we've spent all of ours. Please send us more because broadcasting's expensive. But God's not broke. Now, for us, God has given all of us a calling and a burden and a ministry, and we teach where God guides, God provides. Okay? And we are to lay our burdens down on the brethren, like, hey, this is what God's called me to do. Would you like to help? You know, it's not a fleece, but it's a greater witness, because otherwise ministries are tempted to run their ministry like a business. There's so many ministries, all they talk about is money, money, money. Why do you need money? Well, we got to print more flyers. For what? For fundraising campaigns. Right? But we don't need to use the tricks and the techniques of the world to run a ministry. Right? It's one of those things where God will do what he's called you to do, but you've got to be satisfied with what God provides for you in the ministry. Okay? A lot of ministries have gone broke over the years. In the 90s, when everybody had money and buildings, they just refinanced all their mortgages and built better buildings. Now where are all those buildings? In foreclosure. You know, the economy took a turn, and so they mortgaged their future on debt. Right? You know, our goal is to run the ministry debt-free. I don't need Visa cards. I don't need lines of credit. Not that that's bad. I mean, credit is a tool. I'm not bad-mouthing credit. It's just people can get comfortable living off of it, right? What's the first thing you turn to personally, Christian, when God has put you in a spot where you have no resources? If he's called you to do something, feed your kids, pay your bills, what do you do? Do you run the hustle or do you go and get on your knees? We need to agonize, not organize. Right? We can cook our books, can't we? We can rob Dick to pay Peter. We can do all these things to just get by, right? The hustle. Some of us know the hustle. We don't need to do that. God has honored a particular way of stewarding our money, right? And if we honor him and seek his righteousness, he'll provide the rest. But the first source of our funding and our provision should be our prayer closet. What do you do when you don't have anything? You call everybody? We were joking the other day, people in prayers, like the public prayer, Lord, I need a size 10.5, New Balance, 3/4 cross trainer. Lord, they're on sale at Shopko this week for $79.99. And I just pray that if there's a way that someone could provide the money for these shoes, I'll be home tonight at 6 o'clock. You can leave the money in the ashtray in my car. Lord, if anybody could do that, you know, the fleece prayers, right? No, God is not a deadbeat dad. He feeds his kids. And God is going to call you and I to some impossible tasks. Like feeding your family, like paying your bills. Okay? And sometimes God puts you out a little bit to get you to pray those needs in. It's not like God's up there going, suffer. No, no, no. Pray, because then when you pray and the Lord provides, who gets the glory? God likes that. When you just are blown away by going, no human effort could have ever provided for this particular thing. God God likes to blow our minds. But God loves to fund his ministries. And if you fund, if God wants you to do something, he'll provide. Where God guides, God provides. The world looks at how we handle our money. They do. I mean, what's the first thing when people come to church? Oh, they're just going to ask me for money. Have we ever passed a plate here? I mean, yeah, we pass up plates for lunch, but we don't pass the plate. You know, people have to ask, hey, where do we put the money in the box? Where do you guys even take an offering? I remember once we had visitors. They're like, we can't find where to put the money. And they just piled it on the table here. I'm like, praise the Lord. We have lunch next week, guys. We were sent out at this church here. Just to let you know, we were sent out with nothing. Right? Calvary Chapel sends their pastors out. It's called sink or swim. We send our pastors out broke. Because what happens is, in the day and age in America, we get all these church funding endeavors and these church planting initiatives, which are not trusting in the Holy Spirit. And so they send all these guys out with tons of money and scaffolding around them. And all it does is draw out the work of the flesh. And it usually results in death. Once the money stops, so does the pastor. I know a lot of pastors that were called to plant churches that have already left the area God has called them to. Why? I've got to get a job. So we send our guys out broke because here's the thing. If God's in it, you're going to survive. If he's not, then God didn't call you and we'll just repair you and send you back out in 2 years again. Like, we just make the process real short. You know, that's how we roll in our camp. You know, we don't need money. We need the Holy Spirit. We've got the Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit. And wherever we got his promises. So these guys were commended because they didn't have to take money from the world. They didn't have to take money from the people they ministered to. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Well, there's a little problem that's going to rise up in this here. In verse 9 it says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to putting them out of the church. This guy Diotrephes has a little problem. He likes preeminence among the people. Hey, look at me. Diotrephes has a blog, right? He's got a fundraising campaign. He's got he's got a promoter. And the problem is he doesn't like how John runs his show. And so he's not letting John's missionaries into his church and kicking the people out of his church that are supporting John's missionaries. Oh, no, 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 no. This is the Diotrephes show. Okay? He likes preeminence among men. And what are his weapons? Gossip. Right? It says he is prating against us with malicious words. He's a trash talker. Oh, they're not as spiritual as I am. Oh, look at those missionaries. Oh, yeah, that's John. Yeah, you know, John kind of got in under the radar. Yeah, he's not as spiritual as I am. And then he's punishing the church for participating in their ministry. Notice, Diotrephes is not doctrinally incorrect. He's not correcting Diotrephes' doctrine. He's just saying, look, the guy likes to be first. And if there's anybody in the Bible who likes to be first, we know John, right? The sons of thunder. Remember John's mom asked Jesus one day, hey, Jesus, when my boys get to heaven, can one be on the left and one be on the right? That's the family John comes from. Right? John writes his first letter, the letter of John, the big John. And he doesn't use his name. He uses the apostle for whom Jesus has loved beat Peter to the tomb on the morning Jesus came back to life. He laces that little thread of preeminence throughout the scriptures. Well, we need to bring this home. Self-promotion. Is it biblical? Do you need to tell people how great you are? Because we do, don't we? And there's two ways we do it. A, we tell people how great we are. And second, we tell people how ungreat other people are. Why do people trash talk? To make themselves look better. Right? You know, if I go to Japan, I'm real big over there. Wow, that's why I hang out with you. So I hang out with you, Gene. But put your finger in John and turn to Matthew chapter 20. It's in the New Testament, first book of the New Testament. Go to the coffee stain, take a right, and it's right before the mustard stain.
It looks just like
20, verse 26. You know, if you want to be a big shot in ministry, Jesus gave us the formula. Matthew 20, picking it up in verse 26, it says, actually, let's go to 25. It says, are you everyone there? It says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Ministry is not a place for your needs to be met. Jesus didn't come because he needed friends. He didn't need an attaboy. He didn't need the praises of men. Okay, for us, what does Jesus say? If we want to be great, we need to be what? The servant of all. Okay, that means if you want to be a big shot in church, learn what toilet paper is the softest. Learn what cleaning solutions best get dried vomit off the floor, right? Learn to clean toilets, right? You do the worst job. You show up to your work and you do the worst job. You take the worst shifts, right? You show up and you're a blessing. But when you show up and, hey, I need first shift. I need to be out of here by 5 and I need $15 an hour to do this job, or otherwise I'm not working. Oh, boy. You just negated your witness real quick. You know, your life needs to be that living epistle. So, it's funny talking to like some of the old timers in ministry. They have a lot of the bigger churches have a filter because guys will always come to church. I'm called to be in the ministry. They're like, great, show up Sunday. Wear clothes, you'll get dirty. What do you mean? I'm called to teach. Well, the pastor's got that job pretty much done, but we need somebody to take the trash out after church. We need someone to rake the cigarette butts up. No, 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 you don't understand. I'm called to ministry. Well, yeah. Clean up the cigarette butts, clean the toilets. And in 15 years, if the spot opens for you to teach, we got need in Sunday school, right? But I'm anointed. I'm God's chosen one. But go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs are great because these are just little tidbits of divine wisdom that kind of deflate our egos, right? One of the warnings in Scripture is do not lay hands on a novice because they'll tend to get puffed up in ministry. You know, people will come to know the Lord, people will see that God's using them, and they tend to get a big head real quick. But I like Proverbs. We're going to pick it up in 25. We're going to kind of skim through a couple of these. But in Proverbs 25, it says, verse 6, it says, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Ooh. All right? Man, that hurts. But I deserve to sit in the presence of... I'm great. Well, turn the page. Chapter 27. Verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I don't like that. See, my mom said I'm great. I'm wonderful. I am all that. You people need to recognize how good I am. No, you need to go to the eye doctor because you have an eye problem. But you know what? I find that there is a Diotrephes in me. Isn't that true? We can be anointed, we can be called, we can be gifted. But if that Diotrephes gets unchecked, what happens is the Diotrephes in me is not content at which the pace God has been raising me up. And so he needs to take matters into his own hands and start running the hustle and the promotion. He's never content, right? The flesh is never satisfied. I want, this should be going faster. And so we get onto our promotional campaigns, don't we? You ever bite off more than you could chew? You start fudging and lying and manipulating and saying you can do all these things, and you show up to do the job and you just trip on your own tongue. Whoop! And actually, God's in that, right? If we touch the glory of God and if we get proud, God is faithful to pull the rug out from underneath us, right? You get caught up in that bravado, but the flesh is never satisfied. And the thing is we reap what we sow. You know, if we get caught up into promoting ourselves and down-talking other people, it's going to come back and haunt us. Because all that trash talking eventually comes back to you, and everyone's just going to know you as what? The trash talker. Right? The armchair quarterback. The guy who knows everything wrong with everybody else. That he is the accountability factor in everyone else's life. That guy's in all of us. We need to listen and sit under our own wisdom. We need to keep ourselves humble. We need to realize that God doesn't need us. Okay? Do not judge another man's servant. That's God's business. The Holy Spirit will take care of people if they're out of pocket. But we need to simply walk in humility. We don't need to tell people how great we are. You know, God, like I said, if you work on your character, God will work on your reputation. You don't need to tell people how great you are. Your reputation will precede you. Okay? Your boss will recognize you, right? The ministry leaders will recognize you. They will see the hand of God in your life. See, God always backs his servant. If there's an anointing on your life, it's just like with David and Saul. Saul was the People's Choice Award. Remember? They voted Saul in as the king of Israel. Why? Because he was tall, he was dark, he was handsome, he was charismatic. You know? You'd buy a car from Saul. But who was the real anointed king? The dirty little kid out in the sheep pasture, right? Flinging rocks at lions. Playing his harp, you know? The scruffy little nerf herder. That's for Monica. See, God anointed David. But it took a little time to build character in David. Oh, 15 to 20 years. And how did God build character in David? Saul was throwing spears at him, right? He was being chased all over the wilderness. God had to build a king. He wasn't building some, you know, low-level palace guard. He was building a king. And kings are going to go through some hard stuff. And so he was being challenged and developed. One day, old David had a chance to even the score. See, Saul crept into the cave one day and he had a little too much sauerkraut the day before. Things got a little upset. And he's in there doing his business. And what happens? David sees him. What better way to even the score? All he had to do was slice his throat, hit him with an arrow, whatever he had to do. I mean, he killed giants with rocks. What did he do? He cut a little patch off the corner of his cloak and left a little message. But he says, you know what? I'm not going to touch God's anointed. This is a man God is using to develop character in me. And if God wants to take him out, he will. I don't need to manipulate the situation. I don't need to sell stock to my own company anymore. God's got it under control. Because what did the people of Israel sing? Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his what? 10,000s. You don't need to tell everybody a diamond's great. A diamond's pretty great just by looking at it, right? A rose is a beautiful thing regardless of what people say about it. They'll recognize it. And so as God's working in your life, they will recognize your obedience, right? You and I are just called to obey God's word and submit to his word. And God will put you in the places he wants to put you when he wants to do it. But in the meantime, we need to remain faithful in what God has called us to do. If you're just called to be the lowest man on the totem pole wherever you're at, hey, it's a good place to start. Right? You can only go one direction when you're at the bottom, right? And that's up. You know? And so, same thing in ministry. Jesus says, if you want to be great, be the least. Some of you guys have been in the passenger seat with me on the great ministry crusades I go on. What do? We go to the hospital, we go to the jail, we go to the dog pound, we go to the nut hut. All I am is just the guy who drives the van. You know, I take people to the grocery store. I pick them up places. These hands. I am anointed to do this wonderful work of God. You know, no one ever calls me to talk about when the end times are happening or when the rapture is going to happen or, you know, the theological dispensational truth found in the prophecies of Daniel. You're like, no. They're like, hey, pastor, I need to go somewhere. Okay. That's the ministry.
What? You sure that we're just not waiting for you to spend a little time in that?
Maybe. Some guys just like to be with me. So, the way up is the way down in the kingdom. And Diotrephes didn't quite understand that. So, it says in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. You know, the other thing we can do is we can hide behind other Christians' carnality. Right? We say things like, everybody's doing it. Or, give me an example. Be an example. See, you're a poor example, so I'm off the hook. I don't have to be obedient to God's word if you're not. Well, who's our example? Jesus Christ. Right? Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Do you set the temperature in a room or do you reflect it? See, Christian, you and I are going to stand before the Lord and give an account for everything we say and do. You know? And every time I open my mouth, what goes in? My foot. You know, we have to soberly examine that. We are not going to be compared to one another when we go to heaven. We're going to be compared to Jesus Christ. You know, and all of us do fall short of the glory of God. Right. But we need to put that Diotrephes in our life in check. Because once you give him control, it's so hard to put him back in the cage, isn't it? You ever just find you give yourself permission to sin in your life? Let's look at our language, right? You start letting the little F-bombs and the sweet little, you know, expletives and all those things. And then all of a sudden, you just can't stop, right? You're like, man, I know I can't swear. And then you're like, damn it, I swore. Ah! You know, you're just like, Lord, I need that spiritual bar of soap in my mouth. That 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sins, he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Start with my mouth, right? We see that in Isaiah. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm from a people of unclean lips. I'm a trash talker. Isn't it? Oh, boy, I love God. Isaiah is my hero because I've been in that seat. I'm still in that seat, Lord. I'm a trash talker. See, God doesn't need us to help him out by trash talking people. But we also have a comparison. Verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. One verse, Demetrius has a good testimony from all. How did he get that testimony? Obedience to the word of God. Challenge yourself, Christian. Do your devotions this week. And you don't have to read a whole chapter. Read a verse. Right? Ask yourself, Christian, as you take the name of Jesus, can you tell me 10 things that Jesus taught? Can you tell me 10 verses that Jesus directly taught? Well, he said, thou shalt not judge. God helps those that helps himself. A penny saved is a penny earned. No. Ask yourself, can you tell me 10 things Jesus said. Just look at your red letter Bible. Do you know those things? Do you know 5? Do you know 3? We need to walk in the wisdom God has given us. You know, go into silent witness mode. Don't be so caught up into telling everyone about Jesus. I mean, we need to do that. We need to share our faith. But people need to look at our life and go, what is so different about you? It's this right here. But, you know, don't get caught in this trap where I got to act like the heathen to reach the heathen. If I just, you know, watch dirty movies and use vulgar language and talk about perverted things to them, they're going to listen to me about God. See, darkness doesn't draw darkness, does it? The world is going to feel off the hook if you're a carnal, vomitous, wretched, fleshy bag of pus. They're going to feel justified that they're like, you're no different than you and I. Why would we want to be like you? We already have that. But they want to see a guy who loves his wife. They want to see a guy who dies to himself and does the mundane, boring things. The guy who's honest on his taxes. They want to see the guy who brings an extra lunch for someone at work. A guy who's just helpful. They're not going to call you for your theology until they know you care about them. But Demetrius had a good testimony from all. Verse 13, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Again, I like that. John always ends his letters with that, hey, you know what, there's more I want to say, but I want to say it face to face. We talked last week about this. You know, I'm glad the Bible wasn't written in the age of text messaging. Right? It's so cold. It's so impersonal. Even email. See, emails and texts, they don't convey what? Voice inflection. Oh, we put the little emoticon there, right? The little smiley face or the frown face at the end or the LOL to convey our emotion. But isn't it nice to speak face to face? The Proverbs tell us that open rebuke is better than concealed love. Okay? You know, it's one of those things where we need to talk to one another. We need to engage in one another because Satan wants to do what to us? Divide us and conquer us. It's funny, being the full moon weekend, I could just, Friday night, I was like, oh no. Oh no. And then let the beatings begin. And I see how Satan works because who's not here today? Right? The people that need to hear God's word, the people that need to hear their encouragement from their brothers and sisters, the very vulnerable ones of our flock, they've been hit. Now it's our job to come alongside them and bring church to them. You may be the only voice of reason in someone's life, right? The job isn't for the pastor to call everyone in the church and see how they're doing, right? Somebody has to get in your buddies and your friends and the people you love's business. And I don't just mean show up and slap them around verbally and tell them what's wrong with them, but be like, hey, you know what? Let's do this again. Let's try it again. Let's encourage one another, you know? The ministry is us. Bring church to them. Even more so, you know, look for, on a greater level, you know, you look for that opportunity to speak truth into folks' lives. You know what I mean? Like, that's how the ministry is. We had, what was their joke here? The Holy Smokers. More ministry probably goes on out on that front deck with a cigarette in their hands. Not that I'm condoning smoking. I believe people who smoke, they won't go to hell. They just smell like it. But you strike up the conversations with people. You build them up, you know. You look where the people are. Go sit at Burger King, you know. We need to bring the truth to people. We just can't be Bible regurgitating machines. Or don't assume someone else is doing it. One of the things I learned in ministry, the buck stops with me. And some of you guys know that. Some of you guys have had the pleasure of me calling up and going, hey, you know what? I love you. We need to talk. You got a booger on your face. Let me help you get it off. They'll find they'll hate you, but they'll respect you. And they'll call you up for more. See, the world doesn't do that to one another, do they? Right? People tend to heap up around them people that want to tell them what they want to hear. We need to see each other face to face. Right? And that's when you are in ministry at whatever level. I'm not talking you're going to seminary and you're going to get a church. No, no, no. The ministry is whatever gift and talent you have, it's going to put you in a spot that only you can fulfill. I've done more ministry when I was in the church setup as a usher, right? We go and scrape paint on Tuesdays. Ministry took place there. Shoveling the roof at the coffee house. I just had conversations. Ministries like that, they're so undermined, right? You think, well, you know, look at your body. You got a pinky toe. It doesn't do anything. Cut it off once. See how good you walk. Belly buttons. What do we do? I don't know, but I like mine. Don't take it. It completes me. Same thing. You and I, we're different parts of the body. And we need to encourage one another. We need to just be in the place God has for us. Right? Michelle, for instance, used to just do daily devotions at a place she worked at with a couple women. A John Corson daily devotional. She didn't even write it. She just read it out loud. And a marriage was salvaged because of it. A woman broke down after about a month or two, confessed that there's adultery going on, and their marriage got right. All because she showed up and just read her devotions out loud with two ladies at lunch. That's a revival, you know? God will bring people in the front door, like as the setup goes on. We get here early, just sometimes people come in here and want to talk, you know? Or afterwards, you know? Don't ever underestimate what you have for the kingdom. Be that servant of all and be around the people. And just let them see your life. Let them see all the pains and the struggles, the encouragements. You know, you're going to have a bad day. Or two. Right? Anyone have a bad day this weekend? People are going to watch you have that bad day. And they're going to see you recover. Because Satan will be like, hey, take yourself out of ministry. Oh, you're not walking in perfection. You can't serve the Lord. No, 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 no. You're an agent of grace. You're like, you know what? I'm a total screwball. I'm a mess up. And God uses me anyway. You know why? Because he's given me hope. He died for my sin. That's what people want to see. So many people take themselves out of church because they don't see us in our day-to-day routine. That hall is just full of hypocrites. Yeah, I got room for 10 more. They think that we're like this holy huddle. We need to take this out. And all you have to do is be a Demetrius. Show up and be obedient. Show up to work early. Stay late. Don't steal the toilet paper and the pens. And people will think you are the most righteous dude in the whole building. They'll call you. Here's the other thing. The Holy Spirit will rat you out. When you just show up, they're going to sense the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be like, you're that Jesus freak. You can't hide your joy. They're going to know it's on you. Right? Be the Demetrius. The more you allow yourself to be the Demetrius, the less you're going to be Diotrephes. See, I'm naturally a Diotrephes. Aren't we all? Trash-talking, preeminent, gossiping, me, myself, and I, my unholy trinity. Just take yourself off your prayer list, you know? Just take yourself off your list. Just don't even take consideration, because all that Satan needs to get you to do is think about yourself. Right? When do you tend to have the most spooled out is when Satan goes, God's not providing for you. God doesn't give you enough. Take matters into your own hands. You don't need to do that. Die to yourself. That's our exhortation, right? Jesus says, if any man seeks to be my disciple, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Three steps. We have a three-step program here. Saves you nine. Big, tall drink of water, though. But let the Holy Spirit just have his way with you. And suffer in silence. It's going to be uncomfortable, guys. You're going to want to tell everybody how beautiful you are and how great you are and how worthy you are, but just don't. I take my encouragement from the Marine Corps in World War II. Those guys got nothing. They sent them on the beach. They trained them hard with out-of-date equipment. Nobody joins the Army to get their needs met. Nobody joins the Marines to get their needs met. You show up and you fight because that guy next to you is going to live. Right? If you give up, Christian, in walking with Jesus, men will die. Simple as that. Just like war. Okay? If you just think you can't be used, someone's going to die. Right? Take a stand. Right? Yeah, God can use anybody and send anybody, but you got to realize there is a cost. And you will be held to account for that. If the world in the flesh can figure that out just in the military, I think we could do it for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But when you join the army, you join the military, what? You sign your rights away and you agree you're going to fight and you're going to die. Not even for the cause, but for your bros. It's like, anyone been in a gang fight, Gene? You may not be fighting for the cause. You're just fighting to get out to the truck, right? When you're in a bar fight, it's like someone's got to clear the path, right? You are going to throw down so other people will live. And that's what we're called to do. Lay down our lives because that's what Christ did for us. God didn't dial the wrong number when he chose you for ministry. Don't you feel like that? Like this is a prank call? I have a plan for you. I have something for you to do, you know? Gideon, oh mighty man of God. Wrong dude. I'm the coward threshing wheat in a well. I'm afraid of the bad guys. Exactly. God has not gotten the wrong number. Moses, he's a stutterer. You took the wrong guy. No, I'm pretty sure I got the right guy. And then finally, God just tells Moses what? He says, shut up and do what I tell you. There's no, hey, I got a favor to ask of you. God's not asking favors from us. He says, do you want a joyful, fulfilled life? Then be obedient. If not, you'll just be miserable. Nothing worse than a Christian who's not engaged in service. They're so miserable. You have enough God and enough Jesus in your life to be miserable at home bored or at the bar bored and just frustrated because God's not using you. But then there's so much carnality and there's so much sin in your life that when you go to church or you're in fellowship, you're like, oh, just the Holy Spirit, it burns. Just stop talking to me, right? You're on the fence. You know, I like to say that these days I don't have to really fight with God anymore. You know, I just, okay. You know, and God does really miraculous things like quit being so boastful. Come on, really? Quitting drugs and alcohol is so much easier than like pride, self-promotion, boastfulness, coarse jesting. Oh my God, those things are so hard to die to. Because that's how God made me. Is that the lies we tell ourselves? No, Lord, pick another sin to work on. No. The extraordinary Christian life is found in the ordinary life. You're obedient, people will be blessed. We'll end there. I'm letting you off really tight, 20 minutes early. You forgive me? It's a short service. You know why? Gene's cooking. Gene's cooking. He's got to put out. This is his debut, right? So don't yell at me if the food ain't good. We got the pro. We got the pro here, so.